The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
If you'll grab your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We're going to continue our City Dweller series. And 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. All right, it's good to be back. I have been away for the last couple weeks. TJ and Andrew taught the last 2 weeks. If you missed the first 2 weeks of this series, I want to really encourage you to go back to the podcast and listen. They laid a great foundation for where we're really going with the rest of the school year. Happy September, by the way. Yeah, okay. How many of you are excited to have your kids going back to school? Yeah, okay, and you admit it. Yeah, all right. So September brings a lot of things. What's really special for us as a church is this is our third year in this school. That's pretty exciting. We moved in here 2 years ago with about 80 of you, and God has blessed us, and we've seen amazing things happen over the last 2 years of being in the school, and we just want to just publicly, again, just say thank you to the staff here and for all who have made it possible for us to be able to gather in this place. It's a special thing. Will you guys pray with me real quick, and we'll get into our Bible study. God, thank you so much for who you are and how much you love us. God, we are admittedly messed up people. And God, you love us still. And as we have been hearing through testimony this morning and the songs that we've already been singing in worship, God, you call us to be instruments in your hands, completely surrendered, giving everything back to you. God, take my life and let it be. Let it be yours, God. Let it bring glory to you. And God, as we go into this school year, I pray that that is our prayer, that you would help us as individuals to see our place in your kingdom, our role in your system. And God, that we together would build each other up, we would encourage each other, and we would equip each other to be all that you've called us to be. God, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that we would see clearly that it is us who you call to be your children. And as your children, you give us responsibilities. So God, I pray that as I share from my heart today, that you give me your words to share. And let us each hear through the power of your Holy Spirit what you want us to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. So some really exciting things have been happening over the summer. First of all, summer is usually one of the biggest times of year where churches across the nation take a big dip in attendance. And to be honest, if you look at our averages over the past several weeks, our numbers just continued to grow. We averaged about 220 this summer. We were about 100 higher than last summer. So God is still bringing people here who want to know him, who are searching for truth. And what's really great and better than just having a bunch of people here is a lot of you here and a lot of people who aren't here today have been reaching out to friends, to family, to neighbors, and to complete strangers and sharing with them the love of Christ. We have been grabbing hold of this idea of what it means to be a city dweller. Now, I know our skyline doesn't quite look like that, and I don't know if anybody else has ripped up any jokes on what our city looks like compared to that, but has anybody here ever lived in a city that looks quite like that? Yeah? One, two. Are you awake? Nobody else has ever lived in a city that pretty? Okay, there you go. Regardless of how our city looks, God has called us to be in our city and to dwell in it and to bless it. 2 weeks ago, Andrew pointed out, one of his main points was that Jeremiah 29 tells us that God will literally lead us into a place so that we can be a blessing to the place that he leads us. And sometimes that leading comes through something tragic. In Israel's situation, in Jeremiah 20, how many of you know Jeremiah 29:11? How many can read? What is it? Yeah. I have plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for your hope, your future, all those good things. And a lot of us, that's a coffee cup verse. How many of you have a coffee cup with that verse on it? Okay, amen. All right, so there are tons of coffee cup verses, but sometimes we don't get the context of where that is. God is talking to a people who have literally been taken into captivity, into slavery, and he's telling them, I'm going to bless you, but here's what I want you to do first. And he says, I want you to go into this area, Jeremiah 29, go back and read it. Read before verse 11, and you'll see this. I want you to move into that city. I want your sons and daughters to marry. I want you to build homes. I want you to build businesses, and I want you to bless and pray for that city where I have led you to be captive. Sometimes God will use tragedy in our life to put us in the place he wants us to be, so that we can be the blessing that he intends to have unfold. Back in Genesis 12, we looked at the calling of Abraham several times in our series going through, what book have we been in for a year? Galatians, there you go. And we'll be going back to Galatians probably a couple months down the road. We want to unfold a couple great series to get us all on the same page about a couple things as we start the school year. But as we looked at Galatians, we looked back at Abraham, and we saw Abraham, the father of Christianity in a lot of ways, the father of the Jewish nation, Abraham. And God said, I am going to bless you, and not just you, but your family, and not just your family, but the nations will be blessed be by you and by your people, because I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will bless the nations. And so God's intention is for us to be a continuation, to be a part of that family that dwells in cities on this earth at this time and season. Acts 17 actually says this about each and every one of you sitting in this room. Acts 17 says that God has appointed the season and the place, the boundaries in which you would live. God has put you here at this time and this place for his purposes. And our question today, and my challenge to you today, is are you in response saying, God, everything I am, that creepy video, everything I have, that song we sang earlier, everything, God, let it be yours. And if we would become a people who understands the freedom of what it means to realize that it's not mine, but it's yours, God, use it however you see fit, then we will see amazing blessings unfold in our world. And you can see some of this. How many of you had the opportunity to be a part of the backpack ministry that just kind of happened over the summer? How many of you were able to adopt a family? I know there's more than that. How many of you were able to give towards blessing a family with school supplies? More hands. You know, some of you in here, some of you had the bill, you didn't necessarily have the time, but you had the ability to whip out a check. You know, you have one of those Costanza checkbooks that make you, you know, sit lopsided. Hello, Seinfeld, you following me? And some of you, God has blessed you with resources. God has blessed you with money, and you're able to write a checkbook so that hundreds of school supplies and backpacks can be purchased and given. This is an opportunity that all of us have to be a part of what God is doing in our area. And my prayer and my hope is that as others have had their eyes open to the needs around us, that our eyes, all of our eyes, can continue to be open. Some of you are going to be able to give time. Some of you are going to be able to give talent. Some of you are going to be able to give treasure. And we all come together to give what we can. That's what Acts chapter 2 is all about. As the body of Christ was being built, as Christians were coming together and coming to know Christ, they were all giving of their resources so that no one would go in need. And that's what God has put us here for, to be in our city and to be a blessing to the people around us. Some of the quick stories that I just want to share with you so that they continue to be inspirational to us and models for us to follow. With this backpacks ministry, there is a family here who's not here today. Actually, there's probably about 30 people gone today. They're in Richmond. We planted Hope Hill Church on the back of a soccer team. And whenever that soccer team has tournaments, they're gone. And so a lot of them are gone today down in Richmond, you know, playing in the name of Jesus, a great game of soccer. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute because there's some great stories that I need to share with you about that. But one particular story I want you to hear about is many of you have heard about the two trailer parks that we spend a lot of time in. Grayson Village and Forest Park Mobile Home Community. And we have some individuals here who go there every other week just to play with kids, just to meet parents, just to build relationships and share the love of Jesus with them. Jesus said to all of us, go. He didn't say, build a church and invite them always to come and you wait for them. He said, go. And so we are intentionally going out to these communities and providing for them as we can. One of these girls, one of these families in Forest Park, had a young girl playing on my daughter Alexis's soccer team. And we noticed that she didn't have the best shoes. And the car they arrived in sometimes barely made it into the parking lot. And it was just a little rough. And you could tell that this family wasn't quite making it. And so we continued to, in a way that wasn't going to, you know, we see you're really poor. We want to bless you. We didn't want to, like, totally shock them, but we prayed, God, show us how we can be a blessing, if a blessing is needed in that situation. And so we continued to pray, and as that season unfolded, and we spent time on the sidelines talking with the mom and getting to know the little girl, we came to find out that this family lived in Forest Park and had actually been building a relationship with some of you who went there and did play dates. And so God was putting them in the lives of different families from Hope Hill Church without us even knowing it. And one day, a group of us came together and we were sharing stories of how God is blessing us in our everyday life and how God is showing us how we can be everyday missionaries. And we, this family came up, and it just didn't take long before we realized God was using us to bless the same family. And now this family, we continue to pray for them, but now they've had backpacks provided for them. New soccer cleats have been provided for them. And this girl, I mean, she could be the next, who's the real, is it Mara? The real good woman soccer player? Marta? Okay, she's that good. Okay, she's this little, but she's that good. And we want to see that skill and that talent developed in her, as well as her coming to know the love of Christ. And so a group of us came together, and we found a team that was in her area that had an opening, and we talked to the team, and together resources were provided for her to be able to go to the next level in soccer and to have all of her expenses paid. And this is just one example of a way that we can be in our community and be loving on people in the name of Jesus and seeing lives truly changed. I could go on and on with examples like that. How many of you were able to make our, well, I shouldn't say it like that because some of you were turned away. Last Wednesday night, the baptisms. Sorry, Gary, Bowman's, Jan, you guys are here, Doug, Kathy. How many of you have been to one of our baptisms at Dolphin Beach? A few policies have been written and changed, and we can only have 60 people there in the future when we, if we go back there. So we'd love to be able to do baptisms as a whole community. Back in July, we had about 200 of us there for a baptism. So I think that's kind of, we overdid it. But anyway, it was God, not us. And so anyways, but what was so special about the last baptism is, how many of you were there? How many of you know the Carney family? Is Katie or Kelly here? No, Kelly, most of them are at the soccer tournament, but Katie got sick, and so they came back early. But anyway, what was amazing about that is what started 3 years ago on the soccer field, we got to see come to a place just a Wednesday night ago when the whole family were baptized together. And a lot of that was because, you know, we have children in our church who are playing on these teams with other girls who are not only playing soccer, but sharing their life of Christ with them, inviting them to camps and retreats and youth group and sharing the love of Christ. And these children are coming to know Christ. And as the children have come, Katie and Alex, a lot of you have met Katie and Alex, as they have grown in their faith with Christ, mom and dad have looked back at their own children and said, God is reaching us through our kids. And so together they called me a month ago and said, that baptism, is it still happening? And we said, yeah, we only bring so many people, but we can get you in. They said, well, we as a family, we want to do this. And that's what it means for us to see ourselves as the hands and feet of Jesus, not just on a Sunday morning, sitting here singing songs together and opening up the Word of God an hour a week together, but being the hands and feet of Jesus every day. Amen? So, where does this come from? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is... Sorry, I have light issues up here the last few weeks. I'm going to turn my Bible. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is where this comes from. The idea that, first of all, it was God. And if you've been with us through our Galatians series, you've heard me every week talk about how you and I can do nothing to earn the love of Christ. Christ allowed himself to be sacrificed, to be hung on this cross, to take our sins because of his love for us. It wasn't that he looked out in a crowd of broken people and said, you know, he's done enough good. He deserves my love. Maybe not her, but she has. God looked at all of us and had compassion on all of us and sent his son, and Jesus willingly put himself on a cross to give up his life for every one of us, to all who would receive, to all who would believe. He offered the right to become children of God. This is God's work. God reconciled us to himself. The word reconciled means to bring back to something which once was. In our society, I know growing up, there were, and there still is, to be honest, some methods in the Christian world that I wonder if they're the right. And please don't take this wrong. I'm just speaking out loud. But many times as a child, a teenager, I was told that, you know, when you go out into your world, you should see everybody as going to hell. Because if you see everyone as going to hell, then that'll set a fire underneath you, hopefully bright enough and hot enough to get you moving for God. And so instead of being motivated out of the love for God, a lot of us were motivated out of fear and out of what happens if I don't sign up for God. I want fire insurance. Sign me up. Sure, I'll raise my hand. I'll become a Christian. I don't want to die and go to hell. And that's not... Hell is real. I don't want you to hear me say it's not. There is a time and a place where all of us will one day die and we'll be before God. And based on where our heart is with God, we will either be apart from him forever or with him forever. Hell is real. But what God offers us is love. Not out of get out of jail for free card. Does that make sense? He offers us a willingness to come in and to bring us back to something that once was. And so what I like to start with when I'm sharing my faith with others is not, hey, if you don't believe my way, you're going to hell, buddy. I don't start there. Instead, I start with what I believe the Bible would want us to start with. And I go back to Genesis 1 and 2. Where at one time, everything was perfect. Where we had a perfect relationship with God. Where we were God's people and we lived in this perfect place together. And there was, now follow me here. There was food, but no gluttony. There was wine, but no drunkenness. Cover your ears, young ones. There was sex, but no lust. It was a perfect day. It was exactly the way God created it to be for us to enjoy him and the pleasures of this world in a way that brought glory to him, in a way that made us be fulfilled in him and bringing him glory in the way we lived and the way we moved and the way we breathed. And so when we see this picture that there was something that was perfect at one time. That is what God is wanting to reconcile us back to. God is wanting to save us and bring us back to that which was lost. As sin entered this world, it all fell apart. And we, in the depths of our soul, whether you are a Christian or not, whether you are a believer or not, in the depths of all of our souls, in the depths of humanity, Ecclesiastes 17 says that God has placed in our hearts eternity. We long for that which is missing. We long for that which once we had. And God is continually pursuing us, it says in this verse, to reconcile us, to bring us back to this relationship that once was. And many of us, we're searching. We're trying to get back to that place. Now, that's why there are so many self-help books out there. How many of you have a self-help book? Yeah, okay. You may have bought it at a Christian store, but it's still a self-help book. Okay? All of us are trying to get back to the right place. We feel empty. We feel incomplete. And we are trying to get there on our own. And many of us, we go after it in things, in people, possessions, pride, power. I remember as growing up, I thought it was my high school years were going to be the best if I could become popular. If I can make people like me, if I could have all the right friends and all the right circles, it would be perfect for me. And I got close to this guy named Neil, who had not just the popularity, but he had the people around him. He had possessions. He had a Trans Am that was shiny red, super fast. He had everything, and I wanted to be like Neil. And at the end of sophomore year, it still wasn't enough for him, and he took a gun to his own head. We are constantly trying to get that next thing that we think is going to make us happy, but we will always fall short. We will always be left wanting more if we don't find our fulfillment in Christ. If we don't go back to what he's trying to reconcile us to, we will continue to search and we will continue to find ourselves feeling empty and wanting. And the search for stuff leads oftentimes to sin. And anytime we let something become ultimate in our life other than God, that is sin. Anytime, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, sin isn't just evil. All sin is evil, but sin isn't just the things we think of as evil. Sin isn't just racism. Sin isn't just things like murder. You pouring your life and ignoring your family and your family's needs, you pouring your life into something that's good and ignoring what God has given you is sin. You pursuing something that may be good so that you are seen as good is sin. Sin isn't just always bad or doing what people think is bad. All right. And so, because of this sin here, again, the need for reconciliation exists. Let me continue reading the passage. Again, starting from 17. Sorry, Austin. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's my next point that I want you to see. Who now has the ministry of reconciliation? Who? One more time. Who? Exactly. It isn't just, okay, I found God. I've been reconciled. I'm now pursuing him. Check. My job's done. I'll keep coming to these great group of people and we'll all enjoy being reconciled together. No, God is now wanting us. As Andrew pointed out, God is ascending God. And as God sent Jesus to this dirty world where he was rejected and betrayed and treated as an outcast, God is now continuing to send us. Jesus said, as I suffered, so will you. But I am going to be here by you always, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit will come and he will give you my power and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. We now have that ministry of reconciliation. If you are a child of God, if you are a Christian believer, this is not an option. We are all called to be everyday missionaries. Every single one of us. How many of you visit the same coffee place on a regular basis? Raise your hand. How many of you know a barista by name there? Yeah, okay. Andrew, I just remembered you brought this up 2 weeks ago as well. How many of you have seen that God has possibly put you in that time and place to meet that, what do they call him, barista? That barista, so that you can be the hands of God in their life. If we will shift our focus from seeing people in this world there to serve us, and instead that God has put us in this world to be a blessing to them, we start to see transformation happen in our lives, and we start to see ourselves as the missionaries that God has called each and every one of us to be. Go and find someone to bless. You shouldn't have to look hard. There are people around you every day. There are people in where you work, where you play, where you shop, where you live, who need the love of Jesus. And I'm not saying you have to be shady about it. It's not like you have to like invite them over to dinner and have them sit down, and then all of a sudden they open their napkin and the plan of salvation is there. This is you. This is Jesus. Fold them together. Heaven. Okay? We don't have to be shady. Let's just be real. Let's just be authentic. Let's let our faith seep into every area of our life so that it is seen as real. And so that people see us and see our good works and come to glorify our Father in heaven. Let's keep going. Verse 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to hit this hard. You're going to see that many times at Hope Hill, we're like a broken record. The same kind of things kind of come out over and over again. We're starting a series in 2 weeks called Not a Fan. Some of you maybe have read the book, Not a Fan. We're going into this time of year that's one of my favorite, football season. How many of you are? Yeah, okay. So, what we want you to hear today and what we want to take on as a responsibility next week and for the next probably 8 weeks is we see that our role as the church of God, the church, the people of God, is to encourage and equip one another to be the people that God is calling us to be. And so next week, you're going to have an opportunity around the back of the room. There are going to be many ministries that are within the internal within Hope Hill Church. You'll also see the missional table back there and opportunities that we have to be a blessing outside of our community. And then in the Not a Fan series, we want you to be encouraged to see yourselves as not a fan. We don't want fans at Hope Hill Church. You might have a bumper sticker, Hope Hill Church bumper sticker. How many of you do? Okay, a lot of us have a bumper sticker for whatever we're a fan of. But we don't want you to be a fan. We want you to be a follower. We want you to be in the game, not just watching it. I had the opportunity, it went on StubHub. You can get cheap tickets to Redskins games, especially playoff games, on StubHub, like $5. I had the opportunity to go and be a fan, to cheer, to be excited about one of the wins we might have this season. Maybe. Thanks. So I got to be a fan. But if I were given the opportunity to go out there and to not just be a fan, but to be an athlete and to be a player, Lord help us all. But anyway, if I had the opportunity to go out there and do that, I'd probably take a beating if I wasn't equipped right. If I wasn't in the training and in the practice and the training camp and given the right equipment, the right pads, I would take a beating no matter how great of an athlete I was. And in the same way, we want you to see that God is not calling you just to be a fan on the sidelines and cheering on the work that's happening in Forest Park, cheering on the work that's happening in Grayson Village, cheering on the ways we're helping people by sending teddy bears to kids in need. We don't want you just to be a fan celebrating it. We want you in the game. And we want to equip you. We want to give you the right equipment, the right training, the right practice so that you can go out there and you can share your faith with the barista that you visit often, that you can share your faith with your neighbor, that you can go out there and to be that ambassador. And we take ambassadors seriously here in the United States. We equip them, we staff them, we give them the resources they need to go out and to represent the United States in foreign lands. And God is calling each and every one of us here to be ambassadors for Him, where He has placed us. Are you ready to take on that mission? Are you ready to start living missionally? To be a city dweller? To take the light of Christ into the dark areas of our world and to make a difference? That's what Hope Hill Church is about. That's what God was about. And that's what we want you to get on board with us. So as you close your eyes and bow your heads, I want you to start thinking about a couple things as I put out a couple questions to you. First of all, is there someone that God has brought to your mind already? A coworker, a friend on a sports team, or part of some club that you're a part of? God wanting you to be an ambassador to them, to help them receive that ministry of reconciliation, to help them realize that God loves them. Are you at a place where you're able to say, God, I may not have it all together, but God, if you want to use me, I want to be used? Because you don't have to worry, because, you know, when God came to this earth, He chose the rejected to be His disciples. These men who grew up in the synagogue, and by the time they were young teenagers, they were sent out to be fishermen because they didn't show that they had the ability to learn more and to become the next rabbis. So they were rejected, and Jesus went out, and His first disciples were rejected Jewish boys, who all they had left was becoming fishermen. And Jesus went and said, I want you to be fishers of men. Jesus would say the same thing and is saying the same thing to each of us here. I want to use you to be a missionary in the place where I have put you. My next question to you is this. Regardless of your personality type, regardless of your skill sets, regardless of your resources, God wants to use you as you are. And if we could just come before God with open hands and learn to live in a way that says, God, my money is yours. Use it however you see fit. God, my house is yours. Take it and use it. God, my stuff, all of it, it's yours. Use it. We would find such freedom in giving it back to God and saying, God, take it, use it as your will, as you will, and for your will. So God, I come before you on behalf of this community right now, and I pray, God, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, you would open our hearts, and that we would see that all that you've blessed us with, you've given us for one purpose, to use it to be a blessing to others. And God, you promise to take care of our needs as we go out and to take care of you. And God, if there are times when we're going to suffer, it's for your glory as well. And so God, I pray that you break our hearts, you open our hands, and you help us to see how we can be city dwellers for your kingdom. As we think about these things this morning, I want you to take the time just sitting there and just in prayer with God, saying, God, show me how you want to use me. Show me how you want to use my stuff. Show me how I can make a difference for you. And if you're at a place where you're ready to make some kind of commitment, or you're simply ready to ask God a question, God, okay, I'm ready. If you want to use me, show me. I encourage you to go back to the back of the room and find someone who is willing to pray with you about that. You know, when we make it public that we're ready to take some kind of step, it helps us to not just leave and forget. It helps us sometimes to take that next step. So there are men and women in the back of the room who are willing to pray with you about whatever it is that God is challenging your heart with. And maybe some of you are dealing with some issues that you feel like, you know what, John, this is all good and everything, but there's just some stuff that's not right in my life that I think I need to get right first. Then lift that up to God, and God will meet you where you are. We also have men and women in the back who are willing to pray with you about those things. I will be here at the front as well if you want to pray with me. And as we do most weeks, we also have communion today to remember that all of this is possible for one reason, that Jesus gave his body, he shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. And today, as we close and we remember what God has done for us, I invite you to come and celebrate how and why this is all possible. So worship him. Let him lead you. Let God speak to you in these next moments. God, thank you for who you are, for how much you love us, for how much you've blessed us. God, show us now how we can be, in turn, a blessing for you to others. Move amongst us now. Speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen.